WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Thursday morning. And the phone lines are open at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails both open for you as well on the WBSM app. If you haven't downloaded that yet, I recommend doing so. So many great things on it. And so many great features. It can kind of replace a bunch of other apps in your phone as well. Live traffic, live weather, so you can get rid of your Weather Bug app, if you still use that, or Waze or whatever else. Although I do like Waze because it tells you where the police officers are. But also, you know, just for purposes of making sure that you're aware where they might be pulling out from. Not because you're speeding. And also the alarm feature, so you can wake up listening to WBSM. You can also get all of our podcasts, streaming audio. And, of course, breaking news alerts, plus contests, so much more. And it's all free, and it's all brought to you by South Coast Towing. You can get it from your app store, or just go to WBSM.com, click on the Listen tab, and you can have it sent directly to your device, to the email address that you use on your phone or your tablet or what have you. So, just to update everybody, Marcelo Gomes da Silva, the 18-year-old who was taken by ICE on his way to volleyball practice. He's a Milford, Mass. High school student. He is having his immigration hearing today in Chelmsford that will determine whether or not he can be released on bond. Currently, he is being held in Burlington. According to his attorney, Robin Nice, she told WCVB that he is sleeping on a cement floor and sharing one open toilet with about 40 others at the facility. Now, ICE wanted to move him to Rhode Island, but a judge ordered that he had to remain in Massachusetts for 72 hours until this hearing today. So I don't know if the facilities would have been better in Rhode Island or not, but that's just, you know, where this is at. But they're going to have the hearing today and make the case that he is not a criminal. He has not done anything wrong outside of, you know, his parents bringing him to this country when he was, and I've seen different numbers, in some cases 5, 6, 7, but, you know, around that time when he, you know, had no agency over himself. The family put out a video directly speaking to ICE, asking for the release of their son. Now, ICE tried to portray it as, well, you know, we were looking for the dad, but he was in the car and he was illegal, so we took him. And, you know, father of the year over here didn't bother to turn himself in, right? Well, first of all, who's to say that if he did, he would have released his kid? And secondly, he doesn't think there's anything that you need to take him in for either, because these traffic incidents that they claimed, they said that he speeds through residential areas. Well, those were dismissed. Those charges against him were dismissed. So the whole thing has been a mess, but the hearing is today. So we'll let you know if we hear the results of that. I'm sure, you know, the local media will be all over it and covering it and letting us know as soon as something happens with that. And speaking of local law enforcement, Barry has an article today at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app that I wanted to get your thoughts on. He's talking about some legislation that would allow for local municipalities to determine whether or not they want to install and utilize traffic cameras to catch speeders, people who go through red lights, and other people doing things wrong on the roadways. So it wouldn't be like a statewide edict. It would be done by community to community. So they could all decide amongst them, you know, on their own, if they wanted to have this type of enforcement. And what's interesting about this is I think a lot of people see that cameras have been installed now on intersections, and they assume that those cameras are being utilized against them if they do something wrong. But in Massachusetts, that's not the case. They don't use that camera footage. They use it for if they're tracking a vehicle. You know, if there's an Amber Alert and they're trying to track a vehicle, they can utilize that footage. But they're not utilizing that to prosecute people for speeding, for running a red light, anything like that. If they put a red light camera on the intersection here of Route 6 and 240, every winter, well, I shouldn't say every winter because it hasn't snowed enough the last couple winters, but whenever there's significant snow, they would catch me running that red light, because I can't tell you how many times I've pulled up to that light when there's been a couple of inches of snow on the ground and the light never changes. You sit there for like 4 or 5 minutes, the light never changes because whatever the sensor is or something, like the snow covers it and it doesn't make it so that it's aware that there's a vehicle there, so it doesn't change. So I've had to run that red light numerous times because I'm like, okay, I've been sitting here for 4 or 5 minutes. Nobody's coming. It's safe to go. I'm just going to go. Now it's gotten to the point where if it's snowing and there's significant snow on the ground, I don't even go through that intersection anymore. When I'm coming off 240, I go to the right and I come into the plaza over by McDonald's. And then I just come over into this plaza. Because then at least I know I'm not going to get in trouble for running a red light. But anyway, the idea that these local towns and cities would be the ones determining whether or not to utilize these cameras, it could generate more revenue. But it also means that, you know, a lot of the things you've been getting away with, you're not going to get away with anymore. And if you've ever gone through, say, Providence, when they have those cameras and they're enforcing the speeding through that area, like, you realize, oh, man, I don't think I would have driven, you know, 30 miles an hour through this area or 25 miles an hour through this area if not for the fact that I know there's a camera on me now. Like, my natural inclination would have been to go faster than this and thinking that I was going the speed limit. There's an area like that in Carver when you're going down Route 58. After you get to where you turn off to go to Edaville and you're still heading toward Plymouth, there's like a little S-curve area. And that's a little bit more than an S, but there's a little curved area. And the speed limit drops to 25 there. And I don't know anybody that goes 25 through there, but there's always police officers there making sure people are going 25. So there's no red light there. There's no camera. You know, there wouldn't be a place to put a camera, but that's, you know, the kind of enforcement they're looking for. To make sure that these areas where people have had a tendency to say, I don't have to go the speed limit there, I can go a little faster, to put this into place. And is it a money grab for something that, you know, if there aren't crashes, if there aren't problems happening, what does it matter if people are going 35 instead of 25? These are some of the questions people are going to have to ask themselves as these communities are determining, if they get the chance, if this legislation passes, to decide whether or not they want to install and utilize these cameras. And if there's one good thing that's come out of this technology, is at least it's made things cut and dry. So now if you're on camera and you're caught speeding or running a red light, it's pretty irrefutable footage. You know, the same way with speeding, it used to be, the police officer said, well, I caught them going this speed. And you were like, I wasn't going that speed. And, you know, it came down to a you versus the police officer, because you're depending on the police officer saying, that's what I saw in my radar gun. And depending on you saying, that's what I saw on my speedometer. Now they utilize the LIDAR, which is irrefutable in court. So I guess, you know, technology makes it a little bit more cut and dry, but it also means you're going to get bagged for a lot more stuff that you probably were getting away with before. And that's what these cameras would do as well. So there's probably, if you think about it, right, or, you know, pay attention to this the next time you're on your one of your daily drives and look at all the times that you don't fully stop at a stop sign. You kind of do what we would call the rolling stop, which is illegal. You're supposed to stop and count to three. Look at all the times that you're driving down the road and you hit a red light where, you know you're going to turn on red, but you don't come to a full and complete stop. And you just make that turn on red, even though there's nobody coming and everything was totally safe, but you still are supposed to stop, count to three, and then turn. Think about how many places, you know, the speed limit is whatever it is, and you go faster than that. There's a couple of schools on the South Coast where the school zone lights are always on, even though nobody's at school at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. But the school zone lights are still on with a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. Well, if you go 25 through that area, you broke the law. You probably won't get pulled over for 25, but 30, 35? You know, the rest of the road is 35, but that one spot slows down. That's another thing that happens on Route 58 in Carver. Well, actually, I think you're in South Plymouth by that point. But you get to where the Federal Furnace School is, and it's a 45 mile an hour road. And then you get to where there's a school zone, and you have to drop to like 30. Go down this little dip in the hill, and then come back up, and then the speed limit goes back to normal. But there's always a police officer sitting there looking to catch people that don't do that, even though it's, you know, midnight, nobody's at school. It's a permanent posted speed limit change. So are these the kind of things that you're going to start to get bagged for? Or is there still going to be some discretion on the part of the officers to say, yeah, well, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, it's okay that you were going the regular speed limit for the rest of the street. You know, you weren't going 75. You were going, you know, what we expect you would be going the rest of the time. The people who think that it's just going to be a money grab, though, they're looking at that and saying this gives them the opportunity now to bag every person that goes through there and increase the revenue. And you know what? There might be some of that at the beginning, because you want to recoup the cost of putting in these cameras, right? So maybe there is a little bit harder enforcement. Maybe they feel like if they come out of the gate hard with the enforcement, then that will make people have a natural tendency to realize that you're serious about it and not keep doing it. Then there are the folks who say, we have enough cameras around already. I don't need more cameras. See, here's the thing. There's a lot of these cameras are already out there. They're just not utilizing them for these purposes. Now, not everything you see on top of a set of lights is a camera. Sometimes people get confused. They see what are actually the emergency beacons. They see those as being cameras, and they're not. Those are those flashing lights that will flash as an emergency vehicle is approaching the intersection to let you know that, you know, don't go yet. There's an ambulance speeding through. But others you can tell and see are clearly cameras. So there are a number of them around already. And they're on. They're just not using those for enforcement. And that's what we're talking about here. So you will be under more of a watchful eye. There will be more of a big brother aspect to it. But they're already everywhere as it is. You know, you're like, well, what I do in the privacy of my own home and my own yard is my business. Okay, yeah, but there's probably 45 Ring cameras that are catching you at the same time. So keep that in mind. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. Katrina may be walking on sunshine, but you could be living off sunshine, powering your home off sunshine if you reach out to Isaacson Solar. Go to isaacsonsolar.com, set up an appointment, have them come out to your house, have them talk to you about going solar. Make all this beautiful, abundant sunshine that we're having today work for you. But also, what happens when it's raining, right? Does that mean you have no power to your house? No. And Isaacson Solar can explain to you how it all works. So again, simple, honest, direct answers to all your questions, not a bunch of propaganda that you find online one way or the other. They are your partner in solar. So they're not going to come in, put in a system, and then leave you in the dark. No pun intended. They're going to be there with you every step of the way. Reach out to them at isaacsonsolar.com, set up an appointment, have them come out, sit down and talk to you, have them show you some of the things they can do and talk about some of the ideas they can come up with for installing solar in your home. On your home, in your yard, building you a solar pavilion, building you a solar carport, some of the other structures they can come up with. It is amazing what they are doing now to be able to get you to not have to pay those high energy bills and also feel a little bit better about how you're helping out the environment. IsaacsonSolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, IsaacsonSolar.com. Time now to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
A travel ban from 12 countries to the U.S., Columbia University in a similar status as Harvard, and the DOJ investigating birthright citizenship.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump has signed a proclamation banning travel from 12 countries, citing security risks. Multiple reports say the proclamation fully restricts and limits the entry of nationals from 12 countries. The list includes Iran, Haiti, Somalia, and Sudan. People from seven countries will have partial restrictions, including Cuba and Venezuela. Trump reportedly was back and forth on the decision, with Sunday's anti-Semitic attack in Boulder, Colorado, putting things in motion quicker. The U.S. Education Department is threatening to pull Columbia University's accreditation for violating anti-discrimination laws.
It's taken the first steps to do so, notifying the Middle States Commission on Higher Education that Columbia has failed to meet accreditation standards. It's citing the Ivy League University's toleration of Jewish students being harassed on campus. Education Secretary Linda McMahon says this is not only immoral, but unlawful. Columbia will be given a certain amount of time to comply or face losing accreditation. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
A $20,000 reward is being offered for information that leads to the arrest of a father suspected of killing his three young daughters in Washington State. Travis Decker is wanted in connection with the murder of his three daughters, ages 9, 8, and 5. Their bodies were found near a campground east of Seattle earlier this week. Decker has military training, and police say he should be considered armed and dangerous.
In a post on Truth Social, Trump said he's pleased to finally agree with Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren on something after she called to get rid of it forever. Trump said the debt ceiling should be scrapped to prevent an economic catastrophe, calling it too devastating to be put in the hands of political people. The president said Republicans and Democrats need to come together to get this done. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The deportation of the family of the man accused of committing the fire attack against a pro-Israel protest in Colorado is being blocked. Yesterday, the U.S. District Judge issued a ruling that bars the Trump administration from removing the wife and five children of Mohammed Sabri Salomon. The judge found that deportation without process could work irreparable harm. Salomon's family had their visas revoked and they were detained by ICE shortly after Sunday's attack in Boulder that injured 15 people. Salomon charged with several counts of attempted murder and is due back in court today. The Justice Department pressing a federal appeals court to reverse a judge's ruling that blocked President Trump's effort to end birthright citizenship.
The three-judge panel hearing marks the first time one of the nation's intermediate courts has heard oral arguments over the constitutionality of the controversial policy. It comes as the Supreme Court is also considering whether it should modify the lower court injunctions to allow Trump to partially begin enforcing the policy while the legal challenges are resolved. I'm Brian Shook.
President Trump doubling down on calls to eliminate the debt ceiling. California's high-speed rail may lose all of its federal funding. The Department of Transportation released a 310-page audit alleging missed deadlines, overrepresentation of projected ridership, and budget problems. Republican Congressman Kevin Kiley says there's no viable path forward for California's high-speed rail.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox beat the Angels yesterday afternoon, 11-9. They're off today. They're in New York tomorrow, taking on the Yankees at 7:05.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Temperatures starting out on either side of 60 degrees on this Thursday morning, but are you ready? Because, it's going to be wicked hot by the afternoon. We're in the mid and upper 80s today, and in northern Bristol County in particular, I think a couple spots are going to get past that 90-degree mark. It's going to be rough with the humidity, too. I will say this, if you get to play hooky from work today, don't tell your boss I said to do it, but it's a nice day for the beach. Temperatures right along the coast in the mid and upper 70s. Some spots get into the low 80s as well. Great day to be out by the water. It's mostly sunny. It's a little bit hazy, but again, the humidity is still going to be a factor. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. What date is the senior get-together at White?
It is next Friday, June 13th.
Okay, so I'm just calling to say, this morning I heard an ad of yours, and the date is June 14th on the ad. I didn't want people to get confused.
Oh, maybe somebody put the wrong date in the copy. Was it my voice on it? Because I just read whatever they put on the paper.
Yes, it was your voice.
Yeah, I'm Ron Burgundy. Whatever you put on the paper, I'm just going to say it. So I'll have to go back and fix that.
Yeah, so I just thought I'd call so people didn't get confused by the date.
All right, well, I'll make sure I get that fixed. But yes, June 13th, Friday the 13th, from 9 to noon at Whites of Westport.
Okay, thank you.
All right, have a good day.
You too, bye-bye.
And let's take another call here, 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Oh, thanks, Tim. Hey, and she reminded me that, did you hear that DOGE cut the budget on America's, the 250th anniversary of America? You know, 1776 to today, is we're at the 49 year, right? And so Doge cut the budget by 80% on America's anniversary. So would we blame him on being on drugs, or is he a traitor?
I don't know. I mean, now Elon Musk is coming out and saying that, you know, he's blasting the big, beautiful bill. So it seems like there's a fracture in what's going on there. I think this is just, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nefarious?
No, eccentric behavior. Let's just put it that way. And that makes me think that how much can you really trust what was being done under that work if he's so. Again, I'm trying not to be, because I know that he has some certain mental health afflictions. So I'm trying not to, you know, be judgmental of that.
Is that what he's going by?
No, I mean he legitimately has Asperger's. So I'm trying not to be critical of that, because that does affect his personality, and that does affect, you know, the way that he does some things. But I think he's a jerk too. So there's that.
Well, the 25th Amendment says that the president can be removed if he's either insane or unable to fulfill the needs of the job. Now, if Donald Trump gave control of America's budget to a guy who, and not just in a little way, they sneaked into the Treasury. They have all of our Social Security numbers. They have the hacking devices of his little team of creeps. And the idea that the 25th Amendment should yank Trump out of there for putting that guy in there.
Well, I don't think that's the only reason, but yeah, I think that's part of the problem, is that there hasn't been enough, not enough members of Congress have stood up to say what is going on with this. I think there's too many people that were willing to let it play out and see what was going to happen. And then they're like, you know what? We can just dismiss the things that they tell us, but that doesn't mean that other damage isn't being done. Just because you don't necessarily have to enforce the cuts they're suggesting, it doesn't mean that there isn't other damage being done, like you said, like having access to information.
Well, you know, the thing that I spotted, I'm a big history nut, and back in World War I, there were a bunch of speculators. They were currency speculators. And they cashed in on World War I and made it drag out for years by diminishing the value of each nation's currencies. So in other words, they'd praise Hungary for a while, praise, and then they'd praise Germany for a while, and then they'd praise Italy for a while. And they'd bounce the currencies and then buy low, sell high. But what they were doing, though, was pumping and dumping whole nations. And when the nations became at war with each other, it was like saving face with their currency. And all of a sudden, some creeps are coming in saying that this country is good and this one is bad and that one's bad and this one's good and blah, blah, blah. Donald Trump, before New Year's Day, said he was going to take America's gold and put it into Bitcoin. And then with Bitcoin, he was going to balance America's budget. Now, I'm betting that he was planning on a shell game. He was going to put it in this cyber currency, that cyber currency, and then where's the gold? So we have been scammed, and the value of America has now been so reduced that they've reduced our bond ratings. You know, that American bonds used to be the stability of the world. If you were in Uganda and you wanted to, you know, keep your inflation rate low, you'd buy U.S. Treasury bonds. Keep it slow and steady. But these gamblers, Donald Trump is a gambler, casino owner. He's gambled with America's reputation. He's gambled with our value of everything. Every farm, every skyscraper, every worm in a ditch is valued. And just imagine that the total value goes 30% this way, 40% that way. Well, for Donald Trump to be the bully that he is, he's basically ruining America's reputation, and nobody wants to have America be the stability. The option, though, is go to Putin, or are we going to go to, Chinese money, or are you going to go to Saudi Arabian money? We're in a creepy spot where the reputations of everybody in the entire world are based upon Trump's dumb bigotry. You know, his tariffs are pure bigotry. And he's saying, this nation, And then he comes up with total weird-ass values that totally make America look disreputable.
And then turns them into tacos.
We have the opportunity to set our own value. And there's a famous old law of Moses, Jubilee. When the money becomes so crazy and damaging to civilization, you know, so say, for example, a flood comes along and somebody, the mortgage company, demands more from you while you're trying to do the cleanup. The cleanup can't even happen because the money boys are too busy trying to cash in. And so the cleanups, you know, for laws of Moses, he said that, some things like a flood are an act of God. And if God did this to you, you got to cancel out the debt. You cancel out the money. Now, the Donald Trump has done that, and he's ruined America's reputation, and the money is disreputable. So we have to change out the money. We're going to do it if Doge wants us to use their kind of money, screw them. If Donald Trump wants me to use his Trump coin, screw him. I can barter beans better than I can trying to keep up with his phony concepts. And it's not worth the effort. The entire world has the opportunity. And actually, we're still in springtime. We have a great opportunity. You remember how the buffalo every part was used by the American Indians. Soy is the same way. You can make enormous products. Product is, plastics, paints, varnishes, oils, food out of soy, and it improves the soil. We can get in a crop this year and make fantastic inventions by middle of summer when your crop comes in. Same with hemp. Hemp used to be paper and plastics. Picture a Henry Ford, is it? No, Edsel Ford with a sledgehammer. And he's beaten on one of his cars, and it's made out of hemp fiber. And we have the opportunity by harvest time this year to totally shift out the American economy. And if Donald Trump wants us to ruin our reputations, boom, we can switch over this summer and have a couple of good crops and material to make enormous amounts of products for Christmas.
I got to hold you there. You have a great day.
Sure. Thanks.
I got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. Couldn't start fading out the song until we got to the chorus, because you got to get that stuck in your head for the rest of the day. And you're welcome. So hopefully tomorrow, if you are out and about, you'll come and see me. A couple of things I'm going to be out at tomorrow, 11 to 1, broadcasting from the Fall River Carousel for the Day of Portugal festivities. Going to be down there with my buddy Jackson from Fun 107. And we're just going to be kind of hanging out, talking with you. And I've got a little something I'm going to try, I think. When I'm out there tomorrow, I think I'm going to have a table and a microphone and my laptop ready to record. And what I want is I'm going to have a little printed out paper of some things that I'm going to have you say. Because you hear my voice all over the radio station. And you hear Mike Roberts a lot on the radio station. You're probably sick of hearing me. Some of you can't stand me. So the minute you hear my voice, like, that guy again. So I'm going to have a little thing for you to read, and then we can put your voice on the air and see what you think. So we'll try that tomorrow. Should be fun. We'll also be hanging out, riding the carousel, having all kinds of fun. And then tomorrow from 4 to 6 at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, trying that new concoction that we just came up with last week at a different tasting when we had Plymouth Bay Winery there. They're going to be doing a tasting of the Chiquita Peanut Butter Tequila, which you can try straight on your own, on its own too. And I recommend it. It doesn't even taste like alcohol. It's dangerously good. But they're going to be mixing that with the Plymouth Bay Winery Colonial Red, which is a pure Concord grape flavor. And that when you have those two mixed together, it's like a peanut butter and jelly cocktail. They also have Strawberry Bay wine if you wanted to have strawberry jelly and peanut butter. But you know, you can get the full slate of the Plymouth Bay wine flavors from the Plymouth Bay Winery in Plymouth. Stevie's only carries some certain ones. But they'll, if you request it, they'll get it. Apricot and blackberry and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to be trying the Colonial Red and the Chiquita Peanut Butter Tequila together. Peanut butter and jelly cocktails, cocktail shot, whatever you want to call it. But you'll get the chance to try it tomorrow from 4 to 6 at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Come on by and tell me if that isn't the best. It literally tastes like you're biting into a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, only without the bread. So, you know, you can feel better about yourself. It's healthier. Less carbs. I don't know how many carbs are in the tequila or the wine. I'm just saying. All right. We got to take one more break here. We'll be back in a few moments to wrap things up. And today is a pretty interesting day because today marks the 50th anniversary from the very first time the Talking Heads took the stage at CBGB. Their very first performance together at CBGB's was 50 years ago tonight. And they're making a big announcement to mark that anniversary today, but nobody knows what it is. There's speculation that the Talking Heads could be announcing a reunion, something that people thought would never happen. They never thought David Byrne would agree to doing a Talking Heads reunion, but perhaps they are ready. And if you saw his performance at the SNL concert, amazing. I mean, they could still get out and hit the road, even at their age, and just absolutely kill it. So let's hope that that's what it is. And speaking of killing it, they've already killed it at the butcher shop. So you can just take it and grill it. You can cook it up. You can do whatever it is that you want to do with all the great meats that they have over there at the butcher shop. Today would be a fine day to be cooking your dinner outside on the grill instead of warming up your kitchen. And what better way to cook on the grill than to have something delicious from the butcher shop, whether it be a nice big juicy steak, some of their celebrity pork chops, giant chicken wings, chicken breast, all kinds of stuff. Whatever it is that you want, they have it at the butcher shop. Marinated, not marinated, seasoning, whatever you want to put on it. And they'll make recommendations too. If you say, you know what, I want to find a different way to cook this, a little something different, they've got all kinds of great ideas. And they're always cooking stuff up themselves. If you just want to go in and get yourself a meal already made and not even have to worry about cooking anything in the heat and humidity today, check out the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Tomorrow will be Fun Friday. And as part of Fun Friday, we'll talk to Eric over at the Butcher Shop and find out about all the great things that they have going on there. But yes, tomorrow is Fun Friday. We will have our Fun Friday question and some Fun Friday topics as well. And of course, that's brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford.